Hallelujah. 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 He is worthy, he is worthy, he is worthy. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's the mighty God. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the Creator. He's the Healer. He's the Savior. Hallelujah, he's the Waymaker. He's peace that passes all understanding. There is none other God, none before him, none shall come after him. There's none beside him. Hallelujah. He's the only wise God, the invisible God. Praise God. His name is Jesus. There's healing in that name. There's deliverance in the name of Jesus. There's salvation in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah! The living God reveals himself in the name of Jesus. Oh, praise God! He is the way. He's the truth. He's the life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift up the name of Jesus. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Praise God. There is no other way to be saved. There is no other name that will wash your sins away. The only wise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Call on the name of Jesus right now. Tell him what you need. Jesus, I need healing. I need direction. I need wisdom. Of peace, counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father. Hallelujah! 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 Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to read from 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to read the first four verses. I want to encourage you to continue to worship. Everyone said amen. I want to encourage you to continue to respond to the presence of God. Everyone said amen. Praise God. 2 Timothy 4:1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Praise God. Who's going to judge the living and the dead? I said, who's going to judge the living and the dead? Jesus. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. Because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside unto fables. Praise God. You may be seated. Preach the word. Amen. That's what we're here for, is to preach the word. Preach the word. Everyone say convince. Say convince. Not sure you're convinced yet. Rebuke. Say exhort. I want to convince us that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Are you convinced that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead? I want to convince us that His Spirit is here right now stirring our souls. I want to convince us that the Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. I want to convince you that sin is real, that it's disobedience to the will of God and to the Word of God. I want to convince you that Jesus Christ will forgive you your sins if you confess them and are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Amen. That's why I'm here, to convince you of the Word of God. I want to convince us that Jesus Christ cares so much about us that He gave His own life on the cross at Calvary, and that He has poured out His Holy Spirit to enable us and empower us to live a godly and a holy life by His strength and His power. I want to rebuke our disobedience to the point that we recognize that sin separates us from God and it drags us into a devil's hell. I want to rebuke our complacency and our unbelief in the face of what we've experienced here tonight. Praise God. I put that in my notes. I didn't know what we would experience, but I had a pretty good idea, Bishop, what we would experience here tonight. Praise God. Amen. Oh, praise God. How can we experience what we experience, what we feel, what we know, and still be complacent in the face of the Word of God? In the light of what we know that God has done for us and for others, I want to rebuke our complacency and our unbelief. I want to exhort us to repent from any sin, from any disobedience. I want to exhort us to repent from any hesitancy to do the will of God. I want to exhort us to surrender all of our lives, every part of our lives, to Jesus Christ. I want to exhort us to respond to the Word of God. I said, respond to the word of the Lord. Praise God. I want to speak tonight about hear the word of the Lord. Not just the words that I'm speaking, but the word that the Holy Spirit speaks to you tonight in this place. I want to exhort each of us to find a place to pray tonight before we leave and talk honestly with God and commit to His will. Tonight, tomorrow, and for the rest of our lives. Praise God. That's what the Word of God is for, is to exhort. I want to preach the Word of God and convince and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Because the time is coming, and I believe it is here, when they will not endure, when they will not accept, when they will endure. This age of tolerance will not tolerate right teaching and right doctrine. Yeah, the world around us will accept teaching and doctrine. But because they have itching ears, they will accept the thing that pleases them, the teaching that makes them comfortable, the doctrine that they agree with, the teaching that affirms and confirms them in the lifestyle they live, no matter how sinful or ungodly it may be. These are the days we live in, because all I have to preach tonight to you is the Word of God. I pray that it convinces, that it exhorts, and it rebukes. Praise God. The same Word of God that convinces, that rebukes, that exhorts is also the Word of God that will judge us. But the wonderful thing about God's Word is that it also saves us and changes us. Praise God. God wants to save us. He is not willing that anyone should perish. God wants to change us. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, and be not conformed to this world. Through the Word of God. Hear the word of the Lord. Let's look at 1 Kings 22, verse 6. We're going to read through verse 12. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said to them, "Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to fight, or shall I refrain?" So they said, "Go up, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king." And Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not still a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of him?" Let me explain something here. King Ahab and King Jehoshaphat are together. Jehoshaphat is the king of Judah, and Ahab is the king of Israel. And Jehoshaphat reached out his hand to make a treaty, to make peace with Israel. It was the divided, when the kingdom was divided, and this was Jehoshaphat going out of his way to heal the separation between the two. But here they are together, and the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "There is still one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil." And Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say such things." Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, "Bring Micaiah, the son of Imlah, quickly." The king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, having put on their robes, sat each on his throne at a threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all of the prophets prophesied before them. Say, all the prophets. Now Zedekiah, the son of Chenana, had made horns of iron for himself, and he said, "Thus says the Lord, with these you shall gore the Syrians until they are destroyed." And all the prophets, everyone say, all the prophets. All the prophets prophesied so, saying, "Go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the king's hand." Did you catch it? Don't tell anyone. Just wait. Don't tell anyone. It's like those things on Facebook. You know, they say only 10% of the people who read this will see the mistake. And you look and you find the mistake and you think, well, I'm in the 10%. Can I tell you a secret? Everybody finds the mistake. But it doesn't always work that way with God's word. You see, your eyes may work. You may be very, very smart. But in order to catch what the Word of God is saying to you, you have to have a right heart. I didn't say you had to have a sinless life. I said you have to have a right heart. I said a right heart, a right attitude. Everyone say attitude. You have to have a right attitude towards God and toward God's Word. Amen. A broken and a contrite heart, the Bible says, God will in no wise despise. Meaning, are you willing to admit that you need God? If you want to hear from God tonight, if you want to receive from God tonight, if you want God to work in your life tonight, you have to be willing to admit that you need Him. Tell Him what you need. Do you need forgiveness? Do you need something material? Do you need something emotional? Unless you're willing to admit to Him that you have a need, unless you have a willingness to receive the Word of God for your situation. Do you need forgiveness? You need something because what you got isn't getting it done. Praise God. We have to get to that point. So did you catch it? Everybody saw that Jehoshaphat asked for a prophet of the Lord. You saw that, didn't you? Is there a prophet of the Lord here? But Ahab had prophets. He had lots of prophets. 400 prophets. All kinds of prophets. Prophets, we got prophets here. We got prophets. What do you want to hear? You want to go fight a battle? We got prophets just for that. Here's a special model right here. Zedekiah. He's got specially made horns of iron just to tell you what you want to hear. We got a bunch of go up and fight prophets over in this corner. Just listen and do whatever you want, King Ahab, because we got prophets for you. We got prophets with songs, we got prophets with props, we got prophets with bands, and we got prophets with travel buses. We got prophets with huge compounds and condominiums you can buy. We got prophets with crystal cathedrals, and we got prophets with television programs. We got prophets with worldwide crusades and prophets with miniseries. We got prophets for you. What kind of prophet you want tonight? I can find one for you. What do you want to hear? What do you want to do? I got a prophet for you. Prophets. Pick the one you want. But that prophet of the Lord, not him. Jehoshaphat said, "What about a prophet of the Lord?" In the King James Version, that word "the Lord" is printed a little different. It has a little different meaning than the rest. It means the Lord Jehovah. Yahweh. It means the I am that I am. Jehoshaphat said, "Don't we have a prophet of the God of the Bible in this place somewhere? Don't we have a prophet that has the word of Jehovah?" Praise God. No, not him, Jehoshaphat. Not him, not him. He'll just come in here and convince and rebuke and exhort and try to get us to do the will of God. He'll try to get us to do what's best for us and what's best for the people and what gives God glory. Praise God. Isn't that funny? When the Word of God comes to us and it's not exactly what we want, sometimes it's not just about sin. Sometimes it's about things in our life that God wants to take away from us or wants us to let go because He's got something better for us over here. Sometimes it's because He wants us to do something that's going to cost us something, but He knows that in the end, it's the best thing that we could do. Sometimes He wants us to do something because there's a whole group of people who need to hear what you have to share with them if you'd only be willing to answer the call of God on your life. But you have to have a right heart. You have to be willing to let the Word of God minister to you. You have to be willing to let the Spirit of the Lord convince you and rebuke you and exhort you. Look at verse 13. "Then the messenger who had gone to call Micaiah spoke to him, saying, 'Now listen the words of the prophets with one accord. Encourage the king.'" So what we all want is encouragement. "Please let your word be like the word." They're telling the prophet what to say. "Let your word be like the one of them, and speak encouragement. Don't give us any of that hellfire and brimstone. And Micaiah said, as the Lord lives, whatever the Lord says to me, that will I speak. Why do you Pentecostals always insist on preaching from the Bible all the time? Why are you always taking these unpopular stands against what everyone else believes in? Just because the Bible condemns adultery and lying and cheating and homosexuality, does that mean you have to do it too? Hear the word of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Everyone's heard of George Barna, right? And that's not Barna and Bailey's Circus. That's a different guy. He's a pollster, a famous pollster. He's not as famous as he used to be because he went ahead and started doing polls on Christian issues. So he doesn't get quite as much coverage as Barna's poll used to get years ago. He does Christian topics. You probably heard, I'm sure you have, because I've heard it here, people speaking about a study he did about 2011 concerning the different generations, the boomers, the busters, and the elders, and the millennials. We all have a label. And he talked about the different generational responses to things related to church and to Christianity and to God. A lot of information about church attendance and faith according to each age group over the course of 20 years from 1991 to 2011. We're not going into all of the details, but I want to point out a couple things. In that 20-year period, some interesting things happened. Here's what Barna says. The percentage of adults who can be classified as born-again Christians, now that sounds like a good thing, doesn't it? Based on their belief that they will experience, this is how they define born again, they believe they'll experience eternal salvation based on their commitment to Jesus Christ, personal confession of sins, and acceptance of Christ as their Savior, has risen by 5 percentage points. In 20 years, it's 5% more. In 1991, the national estimate was 35%, and in 2011, it was 40% of adults can be classified as born again. All right, that's one thing. Second, among the religious beliefs that have remained relatively constant over the 20 years were the percentage of adults who describe themselves as Christian, 84%. 84% of Americans call themselves Christian. That should be good, right? Those who say their religious faith is very important to their life today. You ever meet any of those people? My religious belief is very important. Suddenly their religious belief becomes really important when you start ministering to them in the Word of God. That's 56%. And those who have made a personal commitment to Jesus Christ that is still important are at 65%. These are all real good numbers. It's hard to find those kind of numbers around us sometimes. The proportion who agree that Satan is not a living entity but merely a symbol of evil is at 56%. These are all relatively stable for 20 years. But now listen, 5% more born-again Christians, 84% people that call themselves Christian of some kind, and it's remained the same for 20 years. But listen to this. When asked to choose one of several descriptions of God, the proportion who believe that God is the all-knowing, all-powerful, and perfect creator of the universe who still rules the world today, the number was 67%. Think about that. 84% say they're Christians, but only 67% believe in an all-knowing, all-powerful God. All right? And the biggest shift has been in people's perception of the Bible. In 1991, 46% of adults strongly affirmed that the Bible is totally accurate in all of the principles it teaches. That number has slumped to 38% in 2011. 84% call themselves Christians, but only 38%, I'm sorry, believe that the Word of God is the Word of God. That's a big difference. 46% believe they're Christians, but they don't believe the Bible. This means that there are a lot of people out there who call themselves Christians who don't believe in the God of the Bible, and they don't believe in the Bible that God wrote. They have chosen the prophets that they want to listen to. They've decided which prophets they're listening to. They've chosen the God they want to believe in. They found someone to tell them what they want to hear. But they're not listening to a prophet of the Lord. They're not hearing the word of God. Look at verse 15 of 1 Kings 22. Then he came to the king, and the king said to him, Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall we refrain? And he answered, go and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king. There he said what he was supposed to say. So the king said to him, how many times shall I make you swear that you tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? Maybe this is a reflection of my own personality. But I kind of think that when he answered that question, I think he said, go and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king. Or something along those lines. I don't think he had quite the same enthusiasm and vigor that the other prophets had. There was something in the delivery, I think, that tipped the king off that he does not really believe this. Tell me the truth. You really, really want to hear the truth? Do you want to hear the truth tonight? I said, do you want to hear the truth tonight? Praise God. I believe that the truth is here. His name is Jesus. He's walking up and down the aisles. Praise God. He said he's the way, the truth, and the life. I believe that he will speak to every one of us before we leave this building if we allow him to. Praise God. I do not know the story of every person in this room, but he does. And while his word is in this place, he can minister to you and speak the truth to your heart. Then the prophet said this, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each return to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you that he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil? Then Micaiah said, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab to go up, that he may fall at Ramoth-Gilead? So one spoke in this manner, and another spoke in that manner. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. Now, let me say this. It says that a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord. It says that all of the host of heaven was standing by. So just, we could nitpick theologically about just what this means as far as host of heaven and spirit and which is which. Doesn't matter. Because the Lord allowed it. Everyone say, the Lord allowed it. How do I know that? The Bible says so. A spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said, in what way? So he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, you shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do so. So the Lord said, yeah, that'll work. Now notice, I know God is God and he is the Lord of everything, but this did not originate in God. It originated in the heart, or the whatever it is, this spirit brought this forward. And God allowed it. Say, allowed it. Therefore, look, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets of yours, and the Lord has declared disaster against you. Praise God. If you're here tonight, I'm not trying to pick a fight with anybody. But sometimes our concept of God is a little different than what the Bible gives us. Now, I've had this discussion with people, and they, you know, God would never do that. Well, it says so right here. That's what he did. God would never put a light. Well, yeah, that's what the Bible says. He allowed that lying spirit to go. He put a lie in the mouth of the prophets. Oh, but my God is a God of love. Well, so is mine. My God loved Ahab so much that he gave him so much time and so many chances till finally Ahab used up every chance that God could give him. See, some of us come to church because we have to. Some of us don't come to church because we know what we're going to hear when we get there. My guess is there's at least one or two people here tonight that are here reluctantly, and you had that discussion. I'm not going over there. I know what they're going to do. They're going to talk about getting right with God and not living together and cleaning up your act and praise God. It's easy to come to church when you're doing everything right. I don't want to hear that, Ahab said. Don't tell me the truth. Tell me what I want to hear. But if you look at the history, you'll see that God tried many times to deal with Ahab. He sent prophets to him. He dealt with him over and over and over again, many times. Even in this instance, he sent him a prophet that gave him the truth. If you aren't aware of it, or even if you are, Ahab's wife, who is Ahab's wife? Jezebel. Anybody not heard that name, Jezebel? One of the most famous women in all of history? Jezebel. Now, Jezebel was an example in the Bible. She was a negative example, but she was an example in the Bible. She was used throughout the Bible as a negative example. In the book of Revelation, it says that God used her as an example, and he gave a prophetess in the book of Revelation the name Jezebel, and he said, I gave her space to repent, but she repented not. Praise God. One of the most wicked women in the history of the world. God said, I gave her space to repent. He gives us all space to repent. The reason we're here tonight is because he gives us all space to repent. Here's the problem. He's the only one that knows when we run out of space. So, if you're here, you still have space. If God's talking to you about something, like I said, it doesn't have to be sin. It may be just something in your life that he wants you to change. There may be something that he wants to do for you that he can't do for you because you won't obey his word. Because you won't follow the direction that he's given you. Because you've got an attitude or a behavior or a relationship that's in the way of what he wants to do in your life. And you know it, and you don't want to hear about it. Gave her space. So many times God deals with us about the same thing again and again and again. He's a gracious God. The Bible says his mercy is new every morning. That's why it's a good idea to repent every night. because his mercy is new every morning. Praise God. She had space to repent. We all get space to repent. That's how God deals with us. But Ahab was reaching the end of his space. The Bible says that in the days of Noah, that when God spoke to Noah, he said, I will not always strive with flesh. That meant that God was sick and tired of being sick and tired of the world being so full of sin. And the Bible says that every imagination of their heart was evil continually. The whole world had reached the end of their space, and God said, I'm going to bring judgment. I don't believe that Noah was the first preacher of righteousness in the days before the flood. God will not always strive with flesh, and he will not always strive with you or me. So Ahab and Jehoshaphat went into battle. And Ahab disguised himself because God's not going to know which one is me. And Jehoshaphat went into battle dressed like a king. But what they didn't know was that the king of the Syrians had said, when you go into the battle, he told his captains, don't go after anybody but Ahab. They saw Jehoshaphat and they said, that must be Ahab. And they got close enough to hear him cry out. And evidently, Jehoshaphat was standing there and saying, I'm not Ahab! I'm not Ahab! I'm not Ahab! Because when they heard him cry out, they went the other way. And the Bible tells us that an archer drew his bow and shot an arrow into the air. And it just happened to come down right where Ahab was standing. And it just happened to go right in between the opening in his armor. And it just happened to be a fatal spot. And Ahab bled out and died. Space to repent, and he repented not. Praise God. You can find a lot of Christians, 84% according to the survey. Survey says, no. A lot of so-called Bible churches. But there's only one word of God. I said, there's only one word of God. Don't tell me about other sacred scriptures. They're not. One word of God. Because there's only one God. It's only one word of God. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. And the Bible says that the Jews picked up stones to stone him. At that point, because it was clear to them that what he was saying was, I'm the one that was there before Abraham. I'm the one that talked to Moses. I'm the one that talked to Noah. I'm the one that talked to Adam and Eve. The book of Revelation says that he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I'm convinced that the reason that the Lord moved in such a way before we started this message because he wanted to emphasize the fact that the Almighty God was here in the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever you've been told, whatever you have heard, he is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. I'm here to convince you that Jesus is alive. The Bible says he's alive, so I'm convinced that it's true. The Roman soldiers that looked in the tomb, they knew that it was empty, and they had to report about an empty tomb. The apostles saw him alive, the Bible says, upwards of 500 people. Praise God. Are you convinced? I said, are you convinced that Jesus is alive? If that's not enough, what about what you felt here tonight? There's no one person here that could have made that happen. What about the way His Holy Spirit has talked to you since I've been preaching? Especially when I talk about sin or disobedience. That was the Holy Spirit and the Word of God rebuking us. I don't have to know what your sin is. I don't have to know what your situation is. I don't have to know what your argument with God is. I don't even have to tell you what it is, because you already know. Because He's already talking to you about it. I know, because I sit in those pews myself. The Holy Spirit has already rebuked us by His Word in the things that we have not been obedient. Do you want to be free of guilt? Do you want to be free of shame? Do you want to be free of condemnation? Then respond to the Word of God. Hear the Word of the Lord. Do you want to start a new life tonight? You can by responding to the Word of God. Praise God. You can respond right now and God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. The book of Hebrews says that the Word of God is alive, quick, and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. And he reveals everything that's in our heart. You're not hiding anything from God. It cuts down inside of us. It gets down in between the joints, the things that nobody else knows about, nobody else thinks about. He knows what's going on inside of you. That's why God can talk to you while I'm up here with a microphone, and He can reveal your sin to you while I'm preaching about His Word. And now the Holy Spirit is exhorting us. To exhort means to strongly encourage someone to take a certain course of action. Praise God. Let's stand. What you're feeling is the Holy Spirit dealing with your heart. I believe He's convinced us that He's real. I'm convinced that His Word is true. Praise God. I believe that He has rebuked our sin, our disobedience, our hesitancy, our willfulness, our selfishness, our pride. Praise God. Because that's how the Holy Ghost works. But now He's exhorting us to pray. He's calling us to come to Him. Remember, the same word that convinces, that rebukes, that exhorts is the same word that judges. But it's also the same word that saves and changes. So how you respond to the Word of God tonight is going to determine how it works in your life. Praise God. Do you want to leave here with judgment? Or do you want to leave here with a new life? Do you want to leave here with condemnation? Now He's exhorting you to come and pray. He's exhorting you to surrender your life. He's exhorting you to heed the call of God on your life. He's exhorting you to forgive that person you're withholding your forgiveness from. He's exhorting you to ask forgiveness to that person that you've done wrong to. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing right now. Now is your opportunity to respond to the Word. Praise God. We will open up this front of the room here for you to come and pray. We call it the altar. Praise God. If you want to come and give your life to God, if you want to start over anew, Jesus Christ will forgive all of your sins if you will repent. You can be baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that will wash all of your sins away, never to be remembered. You can receive the baptism of God's Holy Spirit. That's where His Spirit comes and fills you up in your innermost being. Hallelujah. And gives you the power to live for God. There's something you're dealing with and you just can't overcome it. You need the help of God. Praise God. Right down here in the middle, come and pray and ask God to help you. We have members of this congregation that will come and pray with you and help you pray. If you need healing tonight, come down here in front and we will anoint you with oil and pray according to the Word of the Lord. Praise God. It's your chance to respond to the Word. It's your chance to respond to the Word of God. He's exhorting you to come. Praise God. He's convincing you of His presence. Oh. Oh, praise God. God is good all the time. God is true. Every word. God is faithful. Praise God. That's the God we're talking about. That's the God of the Bible. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Call on the name of Jesus. All power in heaven and earth is given into that name. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.